morning. Take a Bible and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The scripture text for this morning will be coming out of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. Last week, I preached from Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17 about the baptism of Jesus and what it meant for us. What it means, what it meant for him, and what it means for us. And in this morning's text, John the Baptist is going to be the central character, and he's going to make mention of the baptism of Jesus that he witnessed, but then he goes in a different direction. And so this morning we're going to look not so much at the baptism of Jesus, but for what it means in terms of followers of Jesus. And I'm going to display the scripture reading on the screen, but you should also turn to it in your Bible, because as I preach and make reference to verses, you'll be able to look at them in your Bible as well. So I'm going to be reading from John chapter 1, starting at verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, where are you staying?" "Come," Jesus replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him, and it was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have to come together this morning. Thank you that we are able to worship you, to proclaim the name of Jesus. Father, I pray this morning that we would be encouraged by our time together. And as we have your word open before us this morning, God, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to receive the truth that you have for us. Help us to learn and help us to see that John the Baptist simply pointed the way to Jesus. That because of his life and the words that he used and the transformation that he had undergone, he was able to testify about Jesus and point the way to him. Help us to see, God, that you call us to the same things. That you call us to a lifestyle of being transformed and pointing the way to your Son. Help us, Father, to examine our own lives this morning and to see if perhaps we've been living more sinfully than we ought, that you would cause us to repent and to change. Help us, Father, to continue along the journey of transformation into the image of your Son. And help us, Lord, to always be aware of those people in our lives who are there that need to know the message. And help us, either in word or in deed, to point the way to Jesus so that they might be saved. We thank you so much for Jesus. And as John testified about him in our reading this morning, he is the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Our sin was included in that, Lord, and we give you thanks for that. Help us to be encouraged and reminded of that sacrifice on a regular basis. Help us to live our lives with humility, acknowledging our dependence upon you, and help us to live for you. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We often view evangelism as a transaction, and the idea that we have in our minds is that if we do this, then that will happen. So if we follow the right steps, then we may be able to trigger a response in a person. Or if we simply follow this procedure or this format, if we do these things right, then the results that we want will come. And I remember growing up, some of the emphases that I had in my experience every time we talked about evangelism, the language that was used was that we have to study with someone. So there was a lot of emphasis put on having the right knowledge, having the right understanding, and that if we could then transfer that to another person, the result, hopefully, was that they would be saved. I remember targeting certain friends that I had that went to different churches, and in my mind, the fact that we spent a lot of time arguing about kind of minute doctrines meant that I was doing the right thing because I was trying to convert him to the right path. And even though we look back and him and I are still in contact today, we kind of laugh about it, at the energy and the time that we wasted arguing about things rather than trying to be more encouraging or focusing on people that didn't know the Bible at all. Another time, I think I've shared this story, the youth group I was a part of went to a city that my uncle lived in. He was preaching at the church in the city there, and we spent a couple of weeks over the course of the summer delivering evangelistic literature to every single house in the city. And I think that they had maybe four or five responses out of the whole thing. But that's what happens when we think of evangelism as a transaction. We do X and we get Y result. We might consider this approach along the lines of that our role or our job is to get the information out, get somebody convinced, and then get them baptized. And so evangelism under this format becomes simply an issue of knowledge. And if we know the right things, then we just transfer that knowledge to somebody else, and then it's up to them whether they agree or not, whether they jump into the baptistry or not. But our job is to get the information out and then convince them, almost as though we're in sales. And we're presenting a sales pitch to somebody, convincing them that this is the way they need to go. And then we end the transaction when we get them baptized. But some people have struggled with this. And some of us have difficulty when we think about evangelism. It doesn't come naturally to us. And this idea that evangelism could be a transaction that we engage in with another person is off-putting to some. It doesn't seem to honor the relationship that we want to have with people. It can come across as pushy. It can come across as something that maybe somebody else won't relate to or resonate with. And so some people have difficulty when it comes to evangelism. For some people, they think simply that they just don't know enough. And when we think that evangelism is mainly about the information that we transfer to another person, this is a legitimate fear that people have. How can they evangelize somebody if they don't know enough, at least in their own minds? So when we think of evangelism as transferring information that we're trying to then convince somebody of, it's no wonder that people have difficulty with it. If they can't keep the arguments or the verses straight in their minds, they don't know what to do. And they don't want to approach somebody without understanding or knowing what it is that they need to say or do. Some people are just generally uncomfortable with approaching others. Maybe they're friendly, but when they have to approach them to ask for something or to try to convince them of something, then they become uncomfortable because that's not part of their nature. And that's normal. If we view evangelism as transferring information to somebody and then trying to convince them of that, no doubt that kind of behavior can seem very pushy. And if that's not our nature, is to be assertive like that, then we're going to resist evangelism and say, maybe it's just not for me. I'm uncomfortable approaching people and I just don't think I can do it. the general fear that we have with evangelism is just that. We're afraid. We're afraid of rejection that might come. We're afraid of looking at a relationship that we have and approaching that person, trying to present the gospel, and then they say, no thanks. And it leaves us wondering, what about the relationship? Have I offended them? Have I damaged that relationship? For others of us, we're just afraid of, well, what happens if I take this important message to my friend or my family member and I try to present it to them, but I get confused and I can't share the points that I wanted to share because I forgot what I'm supposed to say next. And we have a fear of rejection that comes and leads us to have difficulty with evangelism. In light of these things, we can look at John the Baptist. In the example that we saw in our scripture reading this morning in chapter 1, verses 29 through 42, we see John the Baptist, and he's an example for us of what evangelism could be. He's an example for us of what evangelism can be when we look at the examples that we have in the Bible of folks who shared the good word with others. And one of the first things that we'll see with John the Baptist is that John wasn't focused on transmitting information to people. He wasn't focused on sharing information with people that he then had to convince them of. We'll find with John the Baptist that he was in a relationship with others, that his life had been transformed by Jesus, and on the basis of that transformation in his own life and the relationship that he was building with his disciples, all he had to do was simply point the way to Jesus. We'll see as we look at scripture here that that's the word that John, the writer of the gospel, uses. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, and it led to conversions. And in this way, when we think about evangelism, John the Baptist is simply an example for us. So let's look at what John did. John began by having a relationship with people. We see him having this relationship with his disciples. In verse 35, this is the second half of our reading this morning. In the first half of the reading, John the Baptist emerges on the scene. He's talking about Jesus. Notice the content of John's message in verses 29 through 44 is not focused on himself or on the things that he's been preaching. It's focused on Jesus. And when he sees Jesus coming towards him, he says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then he explains that this is the one that I was talking about. And then later in verse 32 through 34, he talks about having witnessed the baptism of Jesus, having seen it, having seen what God did at that baptism. It changed his life. John's encounter with Jesus was life-changing. And now, we see in verse 35, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And verse 36 tells us that Jesus was passing by. And John says, "Look, the Lamb of God." What I want us to see is that John, the writer of the gospel, tells us that John the Baptist was just with his disciples. He didn't know on that day that Jesus was going to pass by, so he didn't arrange himself strategically with the disciples at a point at which he knew Jesus would be. He was simply with his disciples. And then when it became appropriate, he was able to say, "Look, the Lamb of God." But John began with a relationship with people. We don't know how many disciples he had, but he was with them on at least a couple of occasions here when he was able to testify to them and point to Jesus, God's chosen one, the Lamb of God. He began with a relationship with people. His heart had been transformed by his relationship with Jesus. He came to know Jesus as the Lamb of God. We see in verse 29 and again in verse 36 that John is able to call Jesus the Lamb of God, to see that purpose that Jesus had as the Lamb of God who came sacrificially to take away the sin of the world. He took it. The sin of the world is gone because of that sacrificial Lamb of God. John's life was changed and transformed by his encounter with Jesus. So much so that when he witnessed the baptism of Jesus, the conclusion that John brought out of that was to say in verse 34, I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. His life was changed by Jesus. And because of that, he was able to use that transformation. And the words that he was able to use to speak about Jesus were now different because of the transformation that he had undergone. He wasn't speaking informative words about Jesus, but he was speaking transformative words about Jesus. And on the basis of a transformed life and a relationship with people, he was able to point his disciples towards Jesus. So in verse 35, as we've referenced already, John, he's just hanging out with his disciples. He spent time with his friends. He hung out with the people that wanted to be around him. And then Jesus arrived. And John simply said, look, the Lamb of God. And then look at what happens in verse 37. John testifies about Jesus. He points his disciples towards Jesus. And then in verse 37, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. John was able to point people towards the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world in such a way that they also became followers of Jesus. Their lives were changed. Their lives were transformed. And the key for all of this was that John's life had been transformed by Jesus, and it was his transformed life that was in turn able to point others towards Jesus. His words changed, his habits changed, his behaviors changed, his thoughts changed, his deeds changed. Everything about John changed through his encounter with Jesus that led him to understand Jesus as the Lamb of God, to understand the mission of Jesus, that he came to take away the sin of the world, to see all of this as the fulfillment of what God's plan was. And in that transformation, he was able to point people towards Jesus. And so as we think about these things about John the Baptist, maybe it raises some questions for ourselves. And maybe one of the most important questions that we can ask for ourselves or about ourselves is this. Are you with people that you can point towards Jesus? Or do you spend all of your time only with believers? It's good for us to be around other believers. It's good for us to be strong members of a healthy church. But at the end of the day, we see in John that part of what God calls us to do is to be around people who need that good news. And the example that we see in John the Baptist is that we need to be around and with people that we can point towards Jesus. Maybe this question: has your life been transformed by Jesus? Or are you merely attending services, going through the motions, doing what you think God expects you to do? Or are you being transformed by Jesus into his own image? John was transformed. His life took on all sorts of new meaning when he understood the plan that God had for him that he was to play a part in. That changed everything for him. Have you understood in your life the transformation that God is calling you to through Christ, such that you can now live differently in a way that will point people towards Jesus? And are you pointing others towards Jesus? Or, like I said, are you going through the motions? Or are you still operating under that notion that evangelism is about putting the right information before people and then trying to convince them to go along with it? But can we see that the scriptural example is that we simply spend time with people in need, loving them, serving them, and pointing to Jesus when the time is right? Our lives need to be transformed. And we need to let that transformed life then point others towards Jesus. That's what we exist as a body of Christ for. That's why God has called us into his church, so that our lives can be changed, so that our lives can be infused with new meaning, so that the old things can be done away with and the new things can come in and take their place because the old things have been removed. We are being renewed. We are being transformed. Let your transformed life point others to Jesus. But I want to leave us with a few things that we can focus on to help us. Because for some of us, if not many of us, a transformed life is something that we struggle with because maybe in your experience you haven't talked about it a lot. Churches that you've been a part of maybe have not focused on the idea of transformation the way that they should. They focused more on transaction. They focused more on doing this or being like that without having the underlying foundation of transformation out of which all of these things emerge. And so there are some things that we can keep our focus on. First and foremost would be prayer. Because in prayer, we communicate directly with God. And in prayer, as we begin to pray, not only for our own needs, but also for the needs of others, for the will of God to be done in your life and also in the life of others and in the life of the church. And as God begins answering those prayers and you see those prayers being answered, your faith is built. You're drawn closer to Him because of the relationship that you have with Him through prayer. Spend more time in the Word. Let the words of God saturate your mind and your heart so that you begin thinking the things of God. Worship. And I don't mean transactionally just going through the motions, but I mean letting your heart be transformed by the words we sing, the scriptures that we read, the things that are taught, the prayers that are said. Enter fully into worship and let God shape and transform you through that. Be a strong, solid part of a community of faith, of a church. Don't just attend meetings, but get to know people. Spend time with people. Find people that you can encourage even as they encourage you. It's so important that we have people we can depend on and trust, and that we find those relationships in the church where all of us ideally are struggling towards the same transformation and then having a focus on the mission that God has for us. This simple mission of sharing the good news of Jesus with the world. When John said about Jesus, he's the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, he recognized in that declaration that that's God's plan for all. And it's not that at that moment God that had taken away everyone's sin, but that that was God's intent, that all sin would be taken away as all come to Christ to be baptized into His name to have that sin washed away. And John's life changed to where he became a part of that. And so now, as you think about these things, what would be different in your life if you were transformed in the same way that John was and these became priorities for you in your life? We have two ways we can go. One, just keep going the way we are. Maybe it's working for you and you're in line with God's plan and you should just keep going down that road. But for some of us, we've not understood what God's plan was. We've struggled to go along with God's plan, or for some of us, we just said, I'm not doing that, I'm following my own path. But now as you hear about what God's plan is and what a changed and transformed life in Christ could be like, maybe now you're saying, I need to be different. I need to do different. I need to walk a different way. So what would be different in your life, among your family, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your community, if you began to live more like John the Baptist with the priorities that he had as he understood God's plan and what God was calling him to, what would be changed in your life if you began living that way? What would be different? Maybe the most important question is, who would be different and changed if you began living with those priorities? if you are here this morning and you need to make a serious change in your life, if you understand what John meant when he looked at Jesus and said, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, and you realize that your sin has not been taken away yet, but you want that change in your life, you want the Lamb of God to take away your sin, then the way that that happens is to be baptized into his name. And in that baptism, you receive the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the promise of eternal life. And if that's something that you desire, that's something that we can help you with this morning. But also, if you're here this morning and you've heard the message and you know that you need to make changes to begin walking down that journey of transformation, then resolve this morning to make those changes in your life. Ask God for help. Maybe find someone else here that you can ask to keep you accountable or to help, to encourage you in that. But do what you have to do this morning to begin walking the way that you know God is calling you to walk. And if you need to respond, please do so as we stand and sing.